Welcome to the Sharkpreneur Podcast with Kevin Harrington and Seth Green. Kevin Harrington is the inventor of the infomercial, one of the original sharks from the hit TV show Shark Tank, and has generated over $5 billion in TV and digital direct response sales. Seth Green is the world's first trusted authority on cutting-edge direct response marketing, a best-selling author, and the only three-time Marketer of the Year nominee. On the podcast, Kevin and Seth interview sharkpreneurs who share straight talk on what it takes to explode your business.
Why do so many businesses struggle while others seem to explode overnight? Do you wish you had the secret to this type of exponential growth? Now, I've scaled more than 20 businesses to over $100 million, and it's not just luck. In my new book with Mark Tim, Mentor to Millions, you'll learn the repeatable framework I use in all my business ventures for massive success. Order at kevinmentor.com and get over $1,000 in bonuses. Head to kevinmentor.com.
Welcome to the Sharkpreneur Financial Services RIA podcast. This is your host, Seth Green. Today, I've got the good fortune to be joined by David Blaine. No, he's not going to disappear. He is not the magician. He's a money magician. Best-selling author of Invest in Your Life, Not Just Your Portfolio, founder and CEO of Blue Sky Wealth Advisors, a fee-only independent RIA. He's been written for and quoted in numerous trade journals, including Money, Business Week, U.S. News World Report, The Wall Street Journal, and others. Under his leadership, Blue Sky has received awards and accolades throughout its history for their quality of advice, growth rate, and client satisfaction. He had also spent 10 years in the military as an Army Ranger, Army Airborne, and Special Operations Unit. David, before we start, thank you for your service.
Yeah, thank you, Seth.
Now, on the regular edition of Sharkpreneur, we did a deep dive into how you got started and common mistakes investors and consumers are making with their financial decisions. I don't want to rehash all of that because that's not this audience. This is the RIA side. So even though the story, the much better told version's in the book, and we did cover it a little bit, give us the synopsis, a few minutes before we dive into the RIA side of how elite military service inspired you to become a fee-only registered investment advisor.
Yeah, thanks for having me back, Seth. Yeah, I'll give you the thumbnail because I think it is important when we're talking about marketing. I simply was a guy that was making money, investing on my own, doing some stocks, bonds, real estate. And I started to look for people to help me. And I could not find people in the financial services industry that I felt knew what they were doing, charged a reasonable fee, and had my best interest in mind. And so I literally just decided to start my own when I got out. I got injured in the military. And I said, I'm going to try to offer a service that in the way that I wanted to be treated and that I could not find.
That's okay. Simple. Obviously, there's a much longer version of the story Right. They should check out in the book. Yeah. So let's dive in to the RIA side. So you hung out a shingle. How did you attract your first client?
Great question. So my first client came from a fellow West Point grad. So I did not know at all what I was doing. I'm here to give people hope for marketing. You know, as you read my little bio there, I did not know anything about marketing. And so I had a friend that went to West Point. He's a couple years ahead of me. And he said, oh, you're in financial planning now. And I said, I am. I hung out my shingle. He said, well, I'd like to hire you. I was like, great. So he paid me $800. To do a financial plan for him. And that was the only $800 that I made that entire year.
Oh my God. Yeah. So there's something up right there. I mean, most advisors, when we come from another industry, a lot of times, you know, and when we switch industries, the people from the old industry don't instantly trust us and say, sure, take my money. Like my dad wouldn't invest in me or Right. With me for the first purchase he ever made was years later. Like, I got to see right. If you're going to hang out and last. My mom was like, here, take my money. You're my baby. I want to help you. And my dad was like, well, I got to wait and see. It says you might drop out in the first 5 years. I got to wait.
Right. No, absolutely.
So that's great that he trusted you right away. That's lousy that you made $800 that year. So obviously you figured out real quick that hanging out a shingle, suddenly the world did not beat a path to your door. So how did you start saying, oh my God, I don't have to just be a good investment advisor. I have to become a marketer. How did you start marketing the original practice many, many decades ago?
Yeah, great question. So I took stock of my inventory of what I had going for me. And I realized that while I knew what I was doing, no one else did. And my degree in engineering had nothing to do with finance. And so what I decided was I needed to parlay what I was about with is ethics, integrity, you know, service and discipline and those type of things and create a business. And so what I did was I threw myself out of the military and I threw myself into the community that I lived in, which at the time was Fayetteville outside of Fort Bragg. And I joined boards. I volunteered my time on boards. I volunteered to be the treasurer of organizations for no pay. And I got myself involved in positions where I could demonstrate that, yes, I was from the military, but I had a very good knowledge of finance. So that was the first thing I did, was just getting involved in the community where I was put in positions where I could demonstrate that I did have some ability in finance and maybe not specifically personal financial planning, but finance in general, which people make the assumption, rightly or wrongly, that if you have any finance knowledge, that you have all the finance knowledge.
Very true. Now, you did manual labor. You got yourself out there, shoe leather, face-to-face networking, volunteering, trying to get your name out there in the community and get yourself known, start making connections. When did you graduate from that to saying, we need to do something that's more scalable? Because if you spend all your time looking for a business, you can't manage any money. And if you have all your time managing money, you don't have any money to manage. So how did you arrive at the decision and what did you start doing to say, okay, it can't just be me out there pounding the pavement in one way or another. I've got to do something scalable. When did that come about and what was that?
Yeah, that's a great question. So like you said, it became this tension between, okay, I got to get business and I got to serve clients. For me, the initial clients that I did get weren't huge, but they needed some work. And so somewhere around 20 or 25 clients is when I decided that I could not continue to do this on my own, doing financial planning, not just asset management, so actually doing planning. And so at that point, I realized that I needed to do something else and I needed some help. I did get an administrative person, but actually one of the first people I hired, I think there was three or four people, was a marketing person. And they weren't necessarily a marketing person, but they handled all the inbound calls and inbound marketing for me. So I wasn't constantly, you know, trying to do planning and taking calls. The other big thing that I did was I was just bold enough to think that I knew what I was doing. And I started a radio and TV show. And I was paid. I had to pay for it, which a lot of people don't know that those shows are paid.
Sure. Some of them are very expensive to get that airtime.
They are. And I dipped into my savings. Actually, you know, the $800, I didn't make anything for 5 years. And so I got these few clients, but I said, hey, if I'm going to make some money, I need to actually do something. So for me, the radio and TV show was a big leap of faith. The guy that owned the radio station also knew the local cable TV guy. And it wasn't live, it was recorded, but it got played several times throughout the week and on the TV. So that was a good move on my part to get myself known in the community. That was a big one. Also at the same time, you know, we talk in the financial services about referrals. I was never comfortable, you know, saying, hey, Seth, we've done a great job here. It was a piece of paper. Why don't you write down the names of three people, you know, I never did that. And so my referral strategy was always do such a great job for people that you are referable. And so that was an underlying theme. So on the active side, we did the radio and TV show. On sort of the passive side, was we just made sure that we wowed our clients and we did an amazing job for them such that they wanted to refer people to us. So that was kind of the first steps. At the same time, Seth, I didn't give up on that community involvement. I stayed involved, which has led to larger and larger, sort of more prominent type things. So I kept that going, but I started that active marketing.
Got it. That makes a lot of sense. Now let's talk about, that's how it got started. Let's talk about where you've grown to, which is an incredible journey. How many households are you serving? And if you don't mind, ballpark range of what AUM you're running right now.
So we have about $500 million of traditional assets under management with about 300 households is how we count them.
And then are you straight AUM only, or are you also doing planning fees? Are you also doing insurance and annuity commissions? How does that work?
Right. We're actually a flat fee, Seth. So we charge a flat fee, no AUM fee, no commissions, no nothing. We sit down with a client, we analyze their complexity, and I created an algorithm that it flat fees us. Now, I like to joke, you know, flat fee, a lot of people in finance think that means hourly or cheap. Like, we're not Walmart. So flat fee, you know, we have our average fee is pushing $12,000. So far in 2020, I don't think we've taken anyone on less than $20,000 a year flat fee. But that's how we charge. And that has been a big part of our growth, which is kind of what I wanted to talk about is, you know, at somewhere along the way, I realized, hey, just being an asset management, retirement planning, that's going to get you only so far. I almost said nowhere, but we'll say that's only going to get you so far. And so we really honed in on our niche, which is complicated people. We advise people on real estate. We advise them on their businesses. And so we take complicated people and we provide that one-stop solution for them. And we do it for a flat fee, which is very appealing to people that maybe don't have $5 million yet on the one hand, but make $2 million a year. Or on the other hand, that do have $10 million, but don't really want to pay $100,000 for assets under management. And so part of this marketing strategy, Seth, was to really zero in on a target market or a niche. And for us, that is the business owner, someone that has a real estate portfolio that, you know, either wants to divest it or wants some help with it. People with complicated problems that don't mind paying for solutions.
Okay, so fascinating. So you're also not participating in the upside. So if that 10 million goes to 20, you don't necessarily automatically get a 1% whatever. You don't automatically get an increase. Do you increase your fees every year? Do you increase them based on performance? And then you're advising on stuff that is traditional, not held assets. Like Correct. A lot of RIAs won't tell them anything about real estate or their business, because if they were at, you know, they can't monitor it, they can't get paid on it. Are you including the advice on, hey, here's how you should deal with your property or your business as part of the fee? And obviously that's not regulated.
Yes. So it is. And so, yes, we do advise on those things and it's built into the fee. It's not regulated. In fact, we're working right now with a carrier to provide a custom E&O policy for us to cover those, because they're typically not covered.
I have a feeling there's some other RIAs listening to this that'll be interested in that coverage.
Yeah.
Because you could broaden your offering then. That's assets we traditionally can't touch.
You can. We do. And, you know, you talk about assets under management, the assets of the clients that we advise on their business. I mean, I just had a client this morning has probably a $40 million company, and we are the primary strategist, tax, asset protection strategist for his company. And he pays us as such. And so we branched out on these areas. It's a real niche. And so between the flat fee and our niche, we've developed this nationwide clientele. The other I'll talk about the acquisitions we made in a minute. That was another growth strategy. But what it's enabled us to do is form partnerships and associations with other groups of people. And that's what I want to get to. The real key for us has been getting to the one-to-many marketing of our target market. And so being well-known in the community of business owners, being well-known in the community of real estate investors, that we're not going to tell you to sell all your properties and put it into AUM. We don't care. We're going to charge you a flat fee, whether it's in real estate, your Schwab account, or under your mattress, we're going to charge you the same.
And does that fee increase every year? And do your clients know that as they make more money, they're going to pay more?
Great question. So I'm a real estate guy also personally. And so our RIA contracts are written like commercial lease agreements, and they have automatic escalation clauses in them. So every year the fee goes up by 3%, up to 3%, without requiring any discussion, negotiation, whatever. We also have different service levels. And so as someone's complexity changes, that will trigger a full fee review. But absent of that, yes, it goes up at least, on average, 3% per year.
Okay. And then you said you specialize in working with complicated clients. I can't go buy a marketing list of complicated clients. Anyone could go buy a list of affluent baby boomers in their area and send them a generic seminar invitation. Right. We've all done it back in the beginning. So what does complicated mean? How do you narrow that down? What psychographics, demographics, industries, how does that work?
Right. So it's funny. You said the number one psychographic that I use is someone that wants to pay for a solution, which is actually me. I'm an entrepreneur. And if someone says, hey, David, we noticed that your lawn looks like crap, and we're going to provide a solution for you that you never have to worry about it ever again, I'm paying for that. If someone comes to me and offers me that. So we look for, that's our number one psychograph, is people that want to pay money for someone else to deal with this so they can go grow their company or go find another rental property, or they can go play with their kids or whatever. So that's the number one thing, is people that want to.
Right. But that would be determined as they respond, right? I can't go buy a mailing list of complicated people who want to pay for a solution. So can you narrow down the psychographics for me a little bit?
Yeah. Yeah. So we found that a lot of business owners meet that profile. So I do a lot of networking associated with business owner groups. Where do business owners hang out? Where can we meet business owners? Where can we market to business owners? Number two is, in fact, the real estate community. Most advisors do not want to mess with people that own real estate.
No, and they would never set foot inside a RIA group.
Exactly. I love being part of those groups. And so we've managed to get involved in some of these groups that are outside the sort of normal markets. And the people that go there, I'll give you an example. There's contractors associations. There's I sit on the board of a big health group. And so there are health organizations where private doctors that still own their practices go to. And so we become part of those. We offer to speak. We offer to do podcasts. We offer to, do things for those organizations where those people go to get information on their industry, their business. And we try to become part of those.
Okay. So that's fascinating. And I can't help myself. So you can't, because we've done marketing work for gurus who sell investing in real estate courses, not the infomercial guys, but people a little bit more credible. So I'm thinking, I know, for example, that you can buy a email list or rent a mailing list of people based on how many properties they own. Right. So you could theoretically target, hey, I want people in this state or whichever region who own 5 different investment properties. 2 might be a vacation home, 5 or 10 is not. 5 or 10 is an investor. And you could, which no other financial advisor would ever even, no RIA would think to go after.
Right.
So that's fascinating.
I would do something like, a lot of these guys are considering, like, they want to diversify. They don't know. Now, a certain percent of them aren't. They're never going to own a stock, a bond. They're never going to do anything other than real estate. But a lot of them are. I had an interesting conversation with a guy the other day. He has like a $40 million real estate portfolio. And he's like, I just want out. I just want out.
You'll take the money.
Yeah. And to be able to go in and to help him navigate some of the tax and some of the implications of that real estate and understanding what he's going through, moving him to a more diversified portfolio, or frankly, once again, I talk about it in my book, Seth, is move, don't necessarily get all out of real estate, but reduce your work by investing a little bit different way in real estate. And a lot of these guys are open to it. Same thing with business owners. They're so busy running around with their hair on fire. Everybody's trying to sell them stuff. And if you go in and market to them as a solution that can help them tie all the personal, I guarantee you, this is a question I ask. I say, hey, does your current financial advisor have the asset value of your business on your balance sheet? Do they actively manage or do they consider the worth of your business? And they're like, no.
No, of course not. Nobody does.
Right. Just by that one simple question and say, well, we do. And acknowledging that their business has value, acknowledging that it's a large part of their life, and you're not just trying to sell them investments, you're going to bring them over to your side and they're going to listen to you.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, absolutely fascinating. A lot of advisors say, oh, well, we are RIA, so we differentiate ourselves based on service. We do a great job. Well, everybody, no one says I do a lousy job, hire me, right?
That's
so
right.
The client doesn't hear that because everyone says we're all great. We're all going to do a great job. So I love that you've actually differentiated yourself on what services you provide and on what assets you'll advise on that traditionally are not touched by most advisors or RIAs. Super interesting. It's obvious why you've grown so much. Congratulations on getting to the half a billion mark. We look forward to having you back when you hit a billion.
Thank you.
And go get the book, Invest in Your Life. Check it out, not just your portfolio, by David Blaine, Blue Sky Wealth Advisors. David, anything else you want to share that I didn't think to ask?
No, just the other thing, we did do, Seth, a couple of acquisitions. So if you're really looking to turbocharge your growth, it's a lot more work and it's a lot harder than it looks. But if you have an appetite to really grow, it's an area that's wide open, especially so at the top, there's some major consolidators that are buying larger firms, but still at the lower end, there's a lot of smaller firms out there that have no succession plan that is a great way to grow. And we've done a couple of those deals and it certainly has helped turbocharge our growth as well.
Awesome. Well, congratulations. Thanks so much for joining us. Then Seth Green with David Blaine from Blue Sky Wealth Advisor. David, thanks again.
All right. Thanks, Seth.
Thanks, everybody, for watching or listening. We'll see you next time.
Do you need money to fund your idea, product, or service? Are you ready to take your business to the next level but need capital to get it done? Kevin Harrington has heard more than 50,000 pitches and knows how to help you make the perfect pitch to get the funding for your entrepreneurial dream. He's distilled the process down in his perfect pitch cheat sheet, and it's yours for free. Just text PITCH to him right now at 727-888-2100. Text PITCH to 727-888-2100 right now and claim your free perfect pitch cheat. Text PITCH to 727-888-2100 to start funding your dream today.
This show has been produced by Market Domination, LLC. To discover how you can have your own show completely done for you and turn it into a real published book and become the authority in your marketplace, go to www.marketdominationllc.com/podcast offer.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.